Or is it a, I know, it's a calculated test. That's what it is. There we go. File 7, 1 Peter. This is a perfect test. So, I would just recommend that you pray, trust the Lord. Hope you're sitting next to somebody who's real smart. No, that's not what we're going to do. I assume we're ready to correct them. Is this true? I have a question here, it looks like. It's whatever, it's in the file. I don't want to get too technical. I didn't pass the rule book today, did I? Let me take a look on my own test, and I'll give you a comment that might help you. I'm not guaranteeing that it will, but it might. I've been don't make it too technical. That might help you out. So is everybody ready to correct these? So we'll exchange papers. I was in the office there, and Sandy was telling all these the latest jokes. So I was being detained as she was telling me these jokes. I know you want to know the jokes, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes here. This is the best one that she had. What do you say to the one-legged hitchhiker when you stop to pick him up? What do you say to him? No. I get to say. He's one-legged. You say, hop in. That's what you do. And so that'll do it for now. If we get to a sticky part in the test, then I'll tell you another one. That'll keep you happy and feeling good about the test. So she's in there rattling these off. She was up to 200 by the time I left. Yeah.
Do we get to trade papers, or do we get to keep our own?
No, we can exchange papers. That would be fine. You could keep your own, but it would be better to exchange papers. Okay. Question number one. From where did Peter most probably write his first epistle? Letter A, Babylon of Chaldea, which is real close to Antioch, but just a little bit out in the surrounding vicinity. Number two, this epistle was written to prepare the hearts of the saints for something that was about to come upon them. What was about to take place? Letter D, suffering due to coming government persecution. Number three, 1 Peter 1:20 says that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What does the Greek word translated foreordained literally mean? Means letter A, foreknown. To what point in time does the phrase before the foundation of the world refer? Letter E, before the human race was established through Adam and Eve. Yep. Now the second joke that I'll tell you. No, number four. We won't tell you another joke. The Jews stumbled at Jesus Christ being disobedient. What caused them to stumble is seen in the Greek word for disobedient. Letter E, their unwillingness. Unwillingness. Number five, in 1 Peter 2:16, Peter exhorts the Christians to be free, but not to use their liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. What fault was Peter trying to correct? Letter C, they felt that their spiritual position negated any obligation to civil government. Number six, to whom did Christ preach when he descended to Sheol? Letter C, all the righteous who had died from Adam to Christ. Number seven, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. And the question is, what took place at Christ's resurrection as a result of this preaching? Letter E, the righteous in Sheol were caught up. Then part two, true or false? The following statements concern Peter. Letter A is false. Peter was not a tent maker. Excuse me. What? Check or a blank is fine. So whatever they checked is true. Whatever they left blank is false. So that's fine. No problem with that. Letter B is true. Peter was a fisherman. Letter C is false. Peter was not highly educated. Letter D is true. He ministered mainly to the circumcision. He was the apostle to the Jews. Letter E is false. Peter was married. Letter F is true. The name Peter means a rock in Greek. Letter G is true, also called Cephas, which is Hebrew for a rock. Letter H is false. It just isn't a true statement. And then I and J are both true. He was one of the inner circle, and Peter was with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So B, D, F, G, I, and J are true. Then check all that apply. Which of the following are Jesus' commands to Peter? You should have checked B, which is feed my sheep, and letter D, strengthen thy brethren. Okay, number two, regarding Sheol, which of the following are correct statements? Letter A is correct. It's a place to be feared. Letter C is correct. It is a gloomy, nebulous place for souls and spirits. Letter E should be checked. The righteous had hope and rest, but were still prisoners. Letter H should be checked. Even the righteous were in a state of death. Letter I is checked. In a legal sense, Satan held all the righteous and the unrighteous until Christ's blood was shed. And also letter L. When Christ preached in Sheol, he was already reunited to God in the Spirit. Yes? Well, you made the antithesis say something that isn't necessarily true. In a legal sense, Satan held all the righteous and the unrighteous. He held them all until Christ's blood was shed. Then what happened when Christ's blood was shed? He no longer held the righteous, but it doesn't say that he no longer held the unrighteous. So you can't make that inference from it, although you did, but yes.
Letter A, is a place to be feared. I took it literally, is a place to be feared, and it's not a place for us to fear.
Well, we're not...
I know the scripture that said, you know, that they feared it. You know, it said that the Old Testament saints feared it.
Well, see, that's how we looked at it in class. Regarding Sheol, what things were true about Sheol? What things are stated in the Bible about Sheol?
It was feared.
It was a place to be feared.
Okay.
It was. And there's all sorts of...
Why is it?
Well...
I'm sorry.
We can't... No, I understand what you're saying, but... See, this is, in a sense, this is much like learning how to interpret things in the Bible. It is difficult to know sometimes what is the point of that statement. And so it does boil down to somewhat of a guessing game. And the test, even though I said this test was perfect, I think you all found out that it's not perfect. So it's the best that we can do, but... you have to realize that there's ways in which you can read the statement that's not what was intended, and by what was stated in class, that's a lot of times that's the only thing we can come back to. And in all the points I listed, I said that Sheol was a place to be feared, and so I can say it this way here: it is a place to be feared. It is a gloomy, everything is present tense as far as these basic statements here, and So if we don't go by present tense and we say, well, it should be past tense, then we shouldn't have checked letter C. I'm sorry that happened. But
that's all right.
I am sorry about that, but there's really nothing that can be done. So one of the difficulties of test taking, that's one of the things that people should hide in their hearts as far as recognizing why the grade on a test is not that significant. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that can be easily misunderstood, but for the sake of the test, it's still wrong. And so the grade goes down, but that does not indicate that much. So, but I am sorry when that happens. And I hope you realize the teachers do feel badly about such things. They don't say, good, we got him. Just the way we wanted it to be. That's not the way that it is. And then the matching section. In 1 Peter 2:1 it reads, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, identify the proper meaning of each of these words. Malice is letter E, a vicious disposition. Guile is letter G, deceit. Hypocrisy is letter C, acting out pretense and falsehood. Envy is letter F, displeasure through someone else's advantage. And evil speakings, letter B, slander, defamation. So E, G, C, F, and B. Number two, the following words are used in 1 Peter to describe the saints of God. Make the proper connection between the word and its meaning and or concept. Elect is letter J. The Greek signifies to choose, to select. Chosen generation is letter D. A new race of people, that is, the race of the new creation. Peculiar people is letter E. A people being made into God's own possession. Strangers, letter G. Those who have no rights or legal status. Pilgrims, letter A. A temporary resident only, not a settler. Good stewards, letter F. Literally, fine house administrators. J-D-E-G-A-F. Then number three, the following are key words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Make the correct connections. Incorruptible, letter D, beyond the reach of decay and change, subject to no loss. Undefiled is letter H, free from every taint or stain of moral pollution. Sober is letter A, morally and spiritually alert. Holy is letter I, being set apart. Redeemed is letter B, to set free by the payment of a ransom. Unfeigned is letter E, not hypocritical, no pretense. And fervently is letter K, literally at full stretch. There was some moaning, but we hope that everything will be all right. Yes?
On one part, three, four, rather, the very last one, could that be I?
I'm not sure what word.
It's evil speakings, and the other one is gossip. Yeah.
Well, I can see that you have some on your side in the matter. Well, so we're on part four, page three, and we're down there at evil speakings. Now, as far as the word itself goes, and what was said in class, which seems like two millenniums ago, it is slander or defamation. And it isn't talking directly about gossip, although undoubtedly it would involve it. And so, since I didn't, I meant to give you some helps to study for the test, and I did not do that. So, since it'll make me feel better and make you feel better, I will accept letter I for evil speakings, which doesn't help all that much, but nevertheless. So, I will accept that. So, evil speakings could be letters B or I. So, a total of 60 points, add up to minus, put that at the top. And then we can pass them in. Well, let me talk to you a little bit here in 1 John. Might as well use the time that we have. We've got to get through 1 John. Not progressing very well here. We're in chapter 3. Now, what I would recommend is that a lot of the points here are very simple points, so I'm not going to be able to keep going into very much detail on some of them. And what you can do on your own is compare the King James translation with Kenneth Wiest, with Rotherham, and become familiar with the significance of the present tense, and all of that will be very helpful to you. But as I mentioned at the close of our last class, that even if we didn't have all of this understanding about present tense and these other translations, we would still know from the whole tenor of Scripture that a saint who commits one sin is not now pushed out of God's kingdom, is no longer a saint. So we would be able to understand that from the whole tenor of Scripture. So we always have to keep that in mind. Now, he says in verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And so again, it's the very simple point, and it's there's more to being righteous than just saying he's the one who does righteous things. And there's much more that could be said, but as far as getting one main point across, you want to know who is righteous? It's the one who is doing righteous things. That's the righteous person. Now, the difficulty with that is, what is the real definition of righteous? What's the real definition of righteousness? That's where the problem comes in. And people will read the verse or statements like this, and they will plug in their own definition as to what is righteous. That's the problem. And so they look at this nice person, this thoughtful person, this considerate person, and of course that's righteous. That's good works. So they must be righteous. But that's not the biblical definition. We've got to find out from Scripture what is true righteousness. What are the kind of works that God is talking about? Yes, it will involve these things, but it's not just these things. It must involve the eternal things. Prayer, a growing relationship in the Spirit, a real studying of God's Word, witnessing, counseling, ministering, things that really have eternal worth. This is what we have to keep in mind. Also, you have to realize that the one who was righteous in the fullest sense is Jesus Christ. So then he's the pattern as to what righteousness is. So if we're really going to be righteous as he was righteous, then we're going to have to live like he lived. And he didn't live like a nun. He didn't live like a monk. He didn't live like some Eastern guru. See, those things, that isn't righteousness. That's not the pattern. So that's what we have to look at. We have to look at Christ. No wonder the devil has worked so hard to confuse to people's minds Christ. Who he is. How he lived. Very few people understand who Christ is. Very few people understand Christology. Don't know really anything about the person of Jesus Christ. They're far more impressed with Gandhi than they ever have been with Christ. Here's this movie about Gandhi, which is probably a pretty accurate representation of the guy, although it was probably taken even to more of an ideal than what he was really like. I don't know. I wouldn't go to the movie personally. I had no interest. But then all the pictures about Christ, they've all been inaccurate. All of them have been inaccurate. There's really never been one that has shown Christ accurately. So people look at these other people, and that's what righteousness is. This is what purity is. This is what holiness is. They look at the Pope and think that's holiness. They think that's purity. They think that's righteousness. That's exactly what people think. They look at their Catholic priest who smokes, drinks, and all sorts of other things, but he's still righteous because he's a Catholic priest. Strange, 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 strange. But it's the one who does righteous that is a righteous person. He's doing righteousness. He that committeth sin is of the devil. It says, he that continually commits sin is of the devil. Not one sin. That saint commits one sin and now he's of the devil. No, that's not the truth. When it says he's of the devil, it means he's out of the devil. Meaning the source of his life is the devil. The source of this man who just stumbled is not the devil. It is still God, even though he just got snared by the devil. You're not talking about one slip, one mistake, one problem area. That's not what he's talking about. He's showing somebody who is living a life of sin. Their life is habitually in sin. He's speaking about rank sinners. Whether they're religious rank sinners or not is immaterial. They're still sinners. And they're of the devil. And then he tells us that the devil sinneth from the beginning. From the beginning means from the outset of this earth and of man being created. It is verse 9. Next time. And be sure to drop in and ask Sandy to share with you. And when he was given that opportunity and he saw what God wanted to do with man, he said, no thanks. And he rebelled against God. And so he's talking about from the beginning of this creation, what has Satan been to this creation? He's been nothing but a liar. He's been doing nothing but sinning. But it doesn't mean that that's how he started. He didn't start that way at all. And then the last part of the verse, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the word destroy means to loosen, to dissolve, to abolish. It also means to deprive of power. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to deprive the devil of all of his power. He wants to dissolve the devil's power so it has no more hold upon us. That's why Jesus Christ came. Came to save and not to condemn. Well, we'll start with verse 9 next time.